It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Jimmy Failla.
I'm Madison Allworth.
I'm Bill Hemmer, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. I'm John Saucier. Russia is denying reports that their missiles hit a village in Polish territory and killed 2 people. The Pentagon is still looking for more information as the Polish government holds an emergency meeting on what to do next.
You can say it was an accident if you have to confirm that they're your missiles in a few hours. And basically what they're trying to do is to see what NATO does.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are a number of different articles in the NATO treaty, most famously Article 5, which says an attack on one member is an attack on all. There's an Article 4, though, that covers a case when a member state feels threatened by another country or a terrorist organization. The 30 member states then start formal consultations at the request of that threatened member. So what, if any, strategic advantage would Russia gain from letting missiles fly into NATO member Poland?
Officially, the Pentagon hasn't confirmed anything. Unofficially, the leaks are saying that this did happen. The AP is confirming it.
Our guest today is Dr. Matthew Schmidt, associate professor at the University of New Haven.
The story is that 2 missiles hit Poland and apparently one potentially in Moldova.
Scary stuff because you have multiple countries there, and obviously Poland is a NATO member. We had reports from the AP. I was reading the same thing you were, that 2 people in Poland may have been killed, and Russia is denying that they were Russian missiles also. Their Ministry of Defense there says the statements of Polish media and officials about the alleged fall of Russian missiles in the area is a deliberate provocation in order to escalate the situation. But let's get real. Who would this be besides Russia?
No one. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what the Russian Foreign Ministry said. Russia is doing this in order to provoke, not Poland. And this is a classic kind of event where Russia is testing NATO's response. So they're going to do this. It's a kind of conscious negligence. These missiles just barely crossed the border. And you can say it was an accident if you have to confirm that they're your missiles in a few hours. And basically what they're trying to do is to see what NATO does.
Will NATO be able to identify if these were, in fact, Russian missiles, or so far it's just hearsay? Can they actually go in and look at the wreckage and say, okay, now we have proof it was Russian missiles?
They should be able to. It depends on the state of the wreckage, but I would guess almost certainly they'll be able to do that. The question here is that, NATO's incentive is to hold off. Right, is to wait. That's why you're not seeing official confirmation, but you're sort of seeing these official leaks.
Yeah, you're not really seeing the Pentagon push back very hard against these reports also, which kind of indicates that Maybe they're still investigating, but maybe they already know what was going on. I mean, Russia has really been under this huge missile barrage lately. They've been sending so many missiles and weapons against Ukraine. We had reports that a residential building in the capital of Kiev was targeted and massive blackouts going on in Ukraine as well. But this steps things up a notch because obviously Poland, a member of NATO. What do you think, if in fact these are Russian missiles and 2 people were killed in Poland, what do you think the response might be?
So, first of all, I think that that NATO is going to be hesitant to invoke Article 5. I think that privately they will say, absolutely, this was an attack, but we don't want to invoke Article 5. I don't think Poland's going to want to do that because they can always, choose to essentially to get involved in the war later. So they're not going to allow Russia to force them to take action.
Yeah, very good point there. So you don't think that Poland is going to put pressure on NATO, but what about Poland just kind of taking their own action? Is there any sort of defensive posturing maybe they can do in response to this?
Sure. They're going to do the normal things. They're going to plus up on the border. But again, they're already in that situation. It's unclear, what kind of response Poland, has available to them that they're not already taking. But, you can bet that the phone lines are hot amongst NATO members right now, deciding how they're going to play this out, essentially in the press, right? And the key point here is what's Warsaw going to do And by that I mean, what are they going to say? How are they going to frame this in terms of not boxing NATO in to the kind of response that Russia wants?
Okay, let's imagine you're Russia for a second. What's the best case scenario that can come out of this? Because, I mean, if what they're doing, if what you said they're doing, testing NATO here, if NATO does nothing, does that embolden Russia to go further?
It's unclear. So what Russia would like to have happen is that NATO sort of blunders in a half-hearted way into the conflict more directly, and then this buttresses Putin's propaganda line inside Russia, so to his population, to say, see, all along I told you that this was a war of NATO against Russia, and he's going to sort of create a confirmation. The other option here is that Poland and NATO refuse to respond in some way, and then Putin frames it as, see, they're abandoning you, and then tries to use that to split the alliance, right, and say, well, you know, maybe we should pressure Ukraine to negotiate. That's also why he's targeting the utilities and especially at this time of year and coming into winter, putting people, into the cold, right? So this is a real attempt to pressure the Zelensky government to negotiate when Zelensky isn't ready to.
When missiles fly a little too close for comfort and even kill people in NATO territory, the world takes notice. This is exactly what we're discussing today with Dr. Matthew Schmidt, associate professor at the University of New Haven. We'll have more on this developing incident in this Russian war in Ukraine right after this. Yeah, I also noticed we have the G20 summit going on in Bali, Indonesia right now, and Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia, not a participant there. We also have learned that his foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, left after the first day of the G20, just going to have some of his underlings representing Russia. Do you think that is any sort of coincidence or mistake that Russia not really participating in a major way in the G20 while this war is going on, but also while this incident just happened?
I mean, I think it's pure speculation to say that it had something to do with this exact, military operation. I think it could, right? But it's also the kind of thing that Putin is doing in a broader sense to snub the international community, right? To say, to sort of pout and say, see, I told you, it's the rest of the world against poor Russia, so poor Russia is not going to go to the G20, right? I'm not even going to send my foreign minister. And I think that, that would happen even if they decided not to launch this operation today, right? If they had launched this operation 2 weeks from now, it would be the same.
Do you think that this possible missile strike, possible accidental missile strike, is actually a sign that Russia is getting a little more desperate in this war? We had, the big goings-on with the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, heading down to Kherson, which was just evacuated by Russian troops. You had the Ukrainian military retaking it. It kind of seemed like that was a big turning point in the war. Now, all of a sudden, you have possible Russian missiles falling in NATO territory. Is this desperation by Russia?
I think it is. I think you have to consider that Putin knew he was pulling out of Kherson weeks ago. And so he was preparing the information space for that in order to have it not look like a retreat. And, to launch a missile barrage like this doesn't just happen in 5 minutes. It takes weeks to reprogram the missiles, to get them situated, to do all of this to make it effective. And so I think that these things are definitely connected. In other words, that the missile response is a kind of retort to what happened in Kherson. One of the questions that military analysts will have is, how many missiles does he have left? 85 is a lot to put out there. And so that's one question. And is that a kind of desperation? But the other thing to keep in mind is that kinetic force is used to create political conditions. So this kinetic force he's not going to win the war by destroying the Ukrainian military. He's going to win the war by using kinetic force to put enough pain and hurt on the military and the civilian population to get the political concessions he wants. So that's really what you have to look for, is how does the political system in Ukraine, its leaders, respond to this kinetic force?
Let's take that a step further. What about American leaders? What do you think the proper response from President Biden should be at this point?
I think the United States needs to double down on supporting Ukraine to win, right? Not to a point where they negotiate, but to actually gain back their territory. I think it's clear that Vladimir Putin's regime is engaged in systematic war crimes, and that he has a theory of the war, this idea of creating a new Russia, right, a Eurasian empire, that means that he's not going to be deterred. And so I think the United States needs to commit to helping Ukraine win this war all the way. And that means doubling down on weapon systems that we haven't provided and doubling down on more aid. and I guess I would say, sorry for going on, but we also have to, you know, critically think about the humanitarian crisis going on. 7 million displaced Ukrainians inside Ukraine. You've got a housing crisis. You've got a heat crisis in the winter. You've got a food crisis. And the U.S. needs to be dispersing those funds and helping.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid a nuclear crisis also. That's kind of a bigger picture thing, but it definitely popped into my mind today when I heard the reports of possible Russian missiles falling in Poland and the United States monitoring Russia for possible nuclear activity. Do you think this incident ratchets up the climate of possible nuclear activity in this war or beyond?
I think it ratchets up the rhetoric in the press. I think that we have to take seriously the possibility that Putin is going to use some kind of non-strategic, some kind of battlefield nuclear weapon. But I still think it's an outside chance. There are lots of reasons of logic that he's not that would keep him from doing that. And we have to remember that Putin is a rational actor. He's not crazy. And if he uses a nuclear weapon on the battlefield, he's going to generate a Western response, which we've already hinted at, that is going to put him out of power. Right, is going to disrupt, if not take out the command and control mechanisms for his strategic, his nuclear force, which is to say that the basis of his power is going to be hurt. And I think he doesn't want to risk that.
Really, really insightful stuff there, especially like your comments about the kinetic energy with this war, trying to shift the political front. And it's not really as much about the front on the battlefield. Dr. Matthew Schmidt, associate professor at New Haven University. He's also involved in a number of strategic analysis in foreign affairs, national security, and preparational planning at the Army's Command and General Staff College. I'm sure you're a very busy man, so we'll get right back to it. But Dr. Schmidt, thanks for taking the time with us here and being again a guest on the Fox News Run. Now an evening edition podcast.
My pleasure. Talk soon.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.